Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So let's see Luke 16 from verse 19. Can you remember the story? That was Lazarus, right? So let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple. And what? All right. And what? Every day. Next part of scripture. All right. Next part of scripture, read. Okay. Next part of scripture, very fast. Next part of scripture. 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 All right. So who is begging here? He's begging that Father Abraham sends what? What? To his what? Next part of scripture. For I have. All right. Next part of scripture, which is our very content. I think we're in 29 now. All right, let's read this part of scripture again and again and again and again and again. Want to read? Abraham said to him, they have and let them. Want to read again? They have and let them. Want to read again? In other words, if Moses had written, if the prophets have written, and they wouldn't hear them, then they will not hear me. Are you guys here tonight? If Moses had written, of course, in scripture, in the Bible, and the prophet had written in the Bible, and they wouldn't hear them, an encounter will not convince them. I'm getting closer to what I want to hit. If you are waiting for an encounter to be changed, you will never be changed. If the written scriptures cannot get you changed, you will never be changed. That's Abraham's stand in this place. You don't need an encounter, because he was suggesting an encounter. Send Lazarus, who was dead. How would he send Lazarus? Some sort of a spiritual, how do I put it? Now, is it a system? I would say there's a spiritual way the thing may have worked, that probably Lazarus will appear physically in the physical world or in their visions and speak to them that they should be careful like their brother who was rich and late and now in hell. Hallelujah to Jesus. But Abraham said, if Moses had spoken and has written, if the prophet had written and have spoken and they did not hear, they will not hear what? Abraham. In other words, if you like half the best encounter in this world, if you don't understand and stand with what scripture have said in the Bible, there will be no change for you. Encounters can be special, some sort of. They may steer you, you know, but what has the potency to change you is the word of God. Are you all here tonight? Am I making sense to you guys? Now let me show you what Jesus said after he resurrected. This was in Luke 24:25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. I don't know if I can even be able to pick out, you know, let's see 24. Are you scared of giving an answer? Which woman said that? Okay, you are wrong. You know the answer, so why are you scared? Amen? But when they came back and saw, you know, she just reported that she did not see the master. And everywhere was open and the master was not there. Hallelujah to Jesus. And they felt like Jesus had resurrected. I mean, they just felt like the body of Jesus was stolen. You know, a lie was said already by the soldiers. Remember, the Pharisees gave money and say lie that his what? Body was stolen. So they went there, and of course they heard the story. His body was stolen. And they went back. These were part of the disciples of Jesus, extended disciples probably. And they went back. And while they were going back, they were discussing, why was his body stolen? Probably, I'm just assuming their discussion. And Jesus appeared to them. Next part of scripture, let's read what he said. When they were wondering if what they heard was true, he said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet have spoken. Give me the NLT's rendition. You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. In other words, Jesus is not, you know, coming there to tell them, look at me, can't you see me? When he came there, he would have just left and smiled at them. Whew. You see me? Check me out. Feel my hands, blessings, and he leaves. But when he came there, he still referred them back to scriptures. In other words, if I had not come, you should have believed. Why? The prophet had said it. It was written in the scriptures. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now remember my first emphasis, how I started. Abraham said, can we remember our part of scripture again? Can we go back there? Media, take us back there. That's what you should be putting there in your head. Luke what? Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. What did the rich man request for? An encounter. Some sort of, it stands like these preachers in our days that feel like, you know, innocently, they feel like if you get a physical encounter, it matters the most. Hallelujah to Jesus. They feel like. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Like when I listened to an apostle, I think he's a very wonderful person, but he got it all wrong in that aspect. He said, the reason why you are affirmed an apostle is firstly that you saw Jesus. You know, Paul said, I've seen Jesus, I've labored for you, blah, blah, blah. And he said, one of the things that makes you an apostle, I'm not dragging to be an apostle, I am not an apostle, even if I can function in the grace anytime I want, hallelujah to Jesus. I can enter anywhere and start a work for God, it will work. But I'm not called to be an apostle. As I'm saying this, one of my friends will look at me and say, I've been doing this, and like, he thinks that I'm an apostle according to him. Hallelujah to Jesus. But he said, you got to have seen Jesus physically. And he mentioned the other aspect. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I said, that's wrong. If it's like that, all the people that saw Jesus should be apostles. A lot of stupid people saw Jesus. In scriptures, a lot of crazy people saw Jesus. That was not a prerequisite. In fact, some saw him and they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Are you listening to me? Some saw him after he resurrected, especially the disciples, and not all of them were apostles. Are you all listening to me? When Paul said, I saw him, you wonder whether he was speaking about the see, the saw, or the seeing, or how that he saw him before he was changed as a Christian. Is that what Paul was referring to? No, because Paul was a nuisance to Christianity at that time. While Jesus was alive, and probably he saw Jesus, he was a nuisance. He was so blind to the things of God. I assume, and I'm sure, Paul was speaking about seeing Jesus by the word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I don't think Paul referenced so much seeing Jesus when he became an apostle. No. He had an encounter on his way to Damascus. And what he saw was bright light, and he heard voices. And he became blind. Hallelujah to Jesus. We had not seen where he was referencing much that he saw Jesus physically after becoming a Christian. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So that's not a prerequisite. Judas saw Jesus. But probably he's in hell right now, so speak. Are you together? You know, one of my friends was asking me a question. Let me ask you, where do you think Solomon is? Very hard question. Where do you think Solomon is? Anybody? You have an answer? Any answer you give me with an explanation. So who has an answer? Wave your hands first. You will say heaven because. You will not say hell because. Anybody? Alright, let's leave that. Only God knows. Right? You think he's in heaven? Why? Okay, you think at last part he said vanity upon vanity. Was it the one that said that? Okay, he says so, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. So, does that mean he's now in heaven? He regretted. The statement suggested he regretted. Yeah. But are you sure he's in heaven? Alright, let's be seated. I think it's a very deep question. I didn't have an answer to. But I had something to tell that friend. I said, in the heroes of faith, and I think I heard somebody saying it lately, in the list of the heroes of faith, he wasn't mentioned. In Hebrews 11. Yes. Solomon was not mentioned. In fact, Paul mentioned even Samson. Because his hair grew back. We could see literally that Samson repented. Can you remember? He asked the Lord to have mercy on him. Well, he didn't mention Solomon. Yet Solomon was the wealthiest, right? Isn't it? He had how many thousands, how many hundreds of wives, sorry? And how many concubines? I mean, that guy would have cheated heaven if he's there. Right, so let's continue what we're saying. Where was I? Somebody say, if that guy makes heaven, he cheated heaven. 700 wives, 300 babes, like 300 side chicks. What a man. Well, where was I? Trying to emphasize how that the word is more important than what? Encounters. So I heard somebody saying that, and I think it's wrong. Nobody should go by that. And I think that's why a lot of people frame stories that they saw Jesus. I don't think we have Christians who really understand rest in Christ. So many. We have them, but not so many. A lot of times people want to show you they are succeeding. Even in life, sometimes we want to just prove to other people they are a success. They are succeeding. Are we together? So they buy what they don't need necessarily. They try to go to Instagram and look like what they are not physically. Are we together? And they just want people to think they are a success. Alright? And by that, they hurt themselves. They are just destroying themselves. They don't have rest. Are we together? Now, that sprang into Christianity also, because, of course, that's carnality. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is what? Dead. Now, people are trying to prove. We can even see it in the way in our generation, even ladies behave. Hallelujah to Jesus. And even men sometimes. I think more with ladies. More with ladies. Some of them try to increase their body parts just so that they feel good about themselves. There's this BBL of a thing that some ladies are doing lately. You know, every areas. Because they don't have rest. And I spoke one time about extracurricular makeup. You see some people make up so well that you can't even identify if they are the persons you know. They cover their face entirely like they are wearing a mask. I really think that's very unnecessary. It's a fruit of the flesh. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I tell you the truth. And I don't mean that as a lady you should not like shakara. You can like shakara, but it should have an extent. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Take for instance myself. One time I was driving with Pastor Rome, and I saw that he was wearing glasses all through the movement. So I asked him, is this a medicated class? He said, no sir, it's for fancy sir. I said, fine man. So I was trying to remove it. I said, you can leave it off. It's your style. Do you know, to me, if I see somebody wearing glasses in the afternoon, I feel so odd. And if I wear eyeglass now, before 3 seconds, I'll start laughing and remove it. I don't know how to do it. Now, that does not make it sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It doesn't. My wife, sometimes I feel like she's embarrassing me. Because we want to go out, you just carry one dark shade and put. And I'll be asking her, why are you wearing this thing? She will say, sun, even though we know that there is no sun. So I found out that is her style. Even though I'm just adding this, that sometimes people that always wear sunshade, if you are so used to it, you affect your eyes. I think you should just take that as a teaching. Do you know that? Yes, you are limiting the ability of your eyes. Because when God created you, he created sun. Sun is not supposed to affect your eyes. Listen carefully. I know some scientists will argue with me. I know very well. I'm not going to join the argument at all. But I think if they just born you, you are 16, you are saying when sunshade, you are disturbing yourself. Look at the sun. The sun is very far. The one that God allows to come into our world as the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Will not affect us from where it is. It cannot affect us. So you can wear it sometimes because sometimes you strain your eyes. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And more importantly for dust. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But if you say every time because of salt. That is why one time we're doing the practical stuff. They kept something very far. She can remember. They say I should read it. I read it. They say she should read it. She couldn't see it. You see? And I could see it. She was so shocked. So you can see everything there. I said, yes. But she that has been protecting her eye could not see it. You know, I had to lay hands on her eye that day. I said, what sunshade has cost? Let the sunshade bring her life today. In the name of Jesus. Ragabashugalidash. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope you learned something there. Amen. So, you see people do things so unnecessarily. Even in the spiritual. Some people, if people don't see that they are praying, they don't feel fine. Except this, they notice when people are trying to, but they want people to know they are prayer warriors. In fact, if you're mistaking them for singers, they can't sleep. They just want you to know they've captured this God. Some may be walking like this, like it's not really planned though. Some may be walking like this and it's not planned. They're actually just walking like that. Some are forming that walk. Where I grew, young men walk like this. And that's the work of an apostle. If you just see this little hunchback, that guy has stayed with the Lord. You can tell he's born again. There's where you just bend the thing. Then you walk like this. And you shake people. And you shake people. The next thing that comes from my mouth is blessings. Blessings. There's a walk. There's a posture of prayer. Before you know, you know itself, it has become part of you. You are getting hunchback, small. But meanwhile, there are people who are not even doing it consciously. We are not talking about those kind of people. Even for prayer, some people watch other people found an expression, the way they pray, you know, they have a particular unique expression in their prayer. Maybe they do their hand like this when they pray. And when they watch them so much, before prayer starts, they've already do something like this. And they do like this. You know, I don't know why people are not being honest to these people. We're not trying to mock your expression of prayer. What we're trying to say is that prayer have not started. Why are you trying to arrange your hand? It seems to us that this thing is more like an action. You know, acting. So an instance, some people may be like that too, naturally. And some are what? Acting. And it's not right. Jesus was passing somewhere and the Pharisees were shouting, Hallelujah, probably. Amen. Holy. Great. And Jesus said, enter your room. Let us not see you. Enter your room. Enter your room. Oh. You know, somebody said Jesus mind his business. He didn't mind his business there. He was passing. You know, it sounds a little bit like he was doing amebo, but it's not amebo. He's God. How can he do amebo? Walking with his disciples and people were praying and he said, hey, we're going to see those people. Hypocrites. And the disciples were jotting it down. Hypocrites. Jesus did not stop them. Hey, this Jesus was serving. Aye. He now called them, hey, enter your room and go and pray. How many of you can do that kind of thing? You know, when we read the Bible, there's a way we read it, feeling angels are just flowing in the book. And Jesus passed and he said, hypocrite. And he just passed. And he now told them, enter into thy room and pray. Does it look like that? That people are praying, it not concern you. You stop there. Firstly, you talk against their prayer. Secondly, you say, enter your rooms and pray. Another point again, Jesus was walking somewhere. And I'm not trying to advise that some of you should be amiable before you be aligning this character with your amoeboic nature. Say that Jesus might be the first amoebo. You're on your own. You better repent. Are we together? Walking somewhere. I mean, Jesus was real. And that's what I was telling somebody. I said to him, I don't believe in this man of God. And if God asks me in heaven, I'll still tell God I don't believe in this man of God and these are my reasons. And he was like, Pastor, you don't think God will be mad at you? I said, God, how do you see this God? Mad at me for not believing in the man of God? Why did he tell me to test those spirits if you'll be mad at me? I said, I think the guy is fake. But if you look at my heart, no strings are attached. No string attached. Thank God for my leaders, pastors, most times. When I tell them something, they get to see it with time. It's proven with time. I'd mentioned some names then and I told them. With time, it got proven. Hallelujah to Jesus. I don't say it out because it's not wisdom. Amen. Are you here tonight? And so, the Lord commands us to test our spirit. I said Jesus was walking somewhere and there was a certain beautiful building, the best auditorium in town. And the disciples were so marveled by what they saw. They said, Jesus, can you see this beautiful building, so wonderful? Now that's not the suggestion that we are against and Jesus was against beautiful buildings. No. Are we together? But there was something more important than buildings in the heart of Jesus that Jesus wanted to see in display. As long as the most important was not in display yet, that was useless to Jesus. You see, beautiful buildings are very important. Big capacity churches are very important. Alright? But when the necessary content, the main stuff is not in display yet, it is useless. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So Jesus condemned the building not because he hated big building and beautiful buildings. Jesus condemned the building because they didn't have the real content that should be a reason for the building yet. I know they spoke about their hard work. They said the hard work that brought about the building. They said it took over 40 years for this building to be a manifestation. And Jesus still said, I'll destroy in 3 days. I will destroy this in 3 days. Meaning the essence of this building will find expression in 3 days. And take out this building. What's the essence of the building? That man becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? How did he do it? In John 2, he affirmed that. What happened? When he was speaking about that, I think, John 2, in John's rendition, you know, this is John's rendition, the Bible said the disciples asked him later, he said he was speaking about his body. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That he would destroy the temple and in 3 days, he will bring it back again. On the third day, he resurrected. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6? He said, do you not know that your body, you've been bought with a price? Meaning the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection is that our body becomes a temple of what? The Holy Ghost. Did you get this now? And that's why if you read Romans 12, the Bible started by telling us, Alright, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present. And I said the root word there means to acknowledge your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Are we together? Hey, are you in church this wonderful evening? A living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. So acknowledge it every day. My body belongs to the Lord. Say, my body belongs to the Lord. My body belongs to the Lord. Now say with conviction, say, my body belongs to the Lord. So acknowledge every day that your body is a living sacrifice to God. That happened by the mercies of the Lord, right? He said, which is your only reasonable service, verse 2 says, by not being conformed to the system of the world, but by being what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. So this is how you do your most honorable service to the Lord. This is how you offer your body to the Lord or acknowledge that your body to the Lord, by not being conformed to the system of the world. But when your mind is transformed by the word, then you acknowledge that your body belongs to the Lord. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? By choosing God's will and doing God's will. Alright, so firstly, you don't know God's will, so you cannot offer your body to the Lord. Alright, if you didn't know God's will, how did you know that earring was wrong? How did you know that trousers was wrong? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You should have understood the word. You know, it will determine you making the right choices. And when you make the right choices, that is how you become a living sacrifice. You are honoring God in every of your decisions. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? So when people don't understand the word, what Jesus has done for them, and they are choosing not to wear earrings and this, they will always come back to debunk those traditions. Alright? Not trying to insult, but some sort of... That is why I think a particular denomination had to come back and debunk some certain lifestyle. We are not trying to talk down those people or shame them. But of course, it is a product of not understanding the finished work of Jesus yet. The Bible calls that dead works in righteousness. Alright? You just make up your mind. You just decide that this thing is wrong and that thing is wrong. And I'll stop it even without the approval of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You stop the thing and you are telling a whole generation not to do that particular thing because you think it's against God. With time, you have to come back and debunk. Because if God did not say that thing is against me and you chose so, except you are a hard preacher. And that's why people that come back to debunk those things and say, I think we made a mistake, we call them humble and wonderful people. Are we together? Because it takes the special grace of God for somebody to come back after many decades and say, what we are doing is wrong. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So the person does not deserve shame. He deserves a lot of what? Praise. Because the person is humble. So Paul is saying that the only reason you can offer your body a living sacrifice to the Lord is by not being conformed to the system of the world, but by being what? Transformed. So when your heart gets transformed, he said the product will be that you will know God's will, which is good, perfect, and what? Acceptable. And when you do the will, that way you are living as a what? Living sacrifice. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Every of your decision is honoring God. That way you stand as a living sacrifice. But like I said, if you didn't understand the word and your mind had not been transformed and you chose some things you should do from some things you should not do, what you are doing is called dead works in righteousness. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because you are not even sure. Alright? Some people pick a particular way to dress. And in all honesty, some of them look very ugly. And I don't think God's will to start with is that you look ugly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, my spiritual father was always against those things. He told a lady, he said, you look like an old woman. She was telling him that she couldn't marry. And he said, you look old, sister. You look very old. Thus says the Lord, go back and look like a young lady. And before you know it, you get married. And she went back and started dressing like her age. How can you be that young and you're tightening rapat? You tight one and you tight the second one. And you now put, how would you get married? Who wants to marry his mother? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. Who would told you that rapat is the prescribed way of ladies dressing in the realm of the spirit? It's just because our mothers do it, so we feel like our mothers are more decent, looking decent than the young ladies, which is true. Most mothers look more decent because they've seen it all. Alright? They've seen it all. So while you are looking skimpy and whatever be, they'll look at you and say, Daddy, why you they show your body for outside? Say, Mommy, leave me, I beg. They are telling you because they've seen that there's nothing there. Say, Rihanna, a mother for many girls also. I've changed. She has become a mother now. She now sees from a different perspective. Recently, Rihanna, the model of many ladies. Firstly, they were following her from the time, I want to say from the time she was in the world. I don't know that she's born again now. From the time she was deeper in the world to now milder in the world. You see, at that time, I'm not trying to mock her. At that time that she was, you know where Rihanna was, Rihanna? How many of you get what I'm trying to explain? How many of you know Rihanna? Where Rihanna was, Rihanna? You know all the controversies around her. Some kind of wrong news you just see, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's dated this one, dated this one, dated this one. I remember I was reading news one time and I saw that Rihanna was it's a new person, but she was liking her S. She could not look at her S on stage where her S was performing, even though she was married to a new husband, and she cried. I said, which kind of momoti is happening like this in this world? And some people sit down and just about it. Hey, Rihanna, she see Chris Brown, she cried, blah, 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 blah. You know, they are modeling a kind of life to you people. Do you know that? That's why you are married and thinking about your S. How stupid are you? And you think it's normal? You are married and somewhere past, you say, hey, Sammy. Because now you see how useless this person is that you are married to. And you regret marrying the person. Let me tell you, anybody you eventually marry, you will be a point you will now ask yourself, are you sure I would have not married the other person? It always comes. And it's always the devil. If you like, let God say, hey, Daniel, your wife, you're Daniel, right? Your wife is Kira. Thank you, Jesus, that you carry cure and will show you man and wife. A day will come, you hear another voice say, are you sure it was not a demon that came as an angel of light and told me? You know why the voice will prevail? Because at that point there's crisis. You know, I saw something on Facebook, I couldn't stop laughing. The lady said, happy married life until see finish do us apart. See finish. She not say until death do us, but say until see finish. And it's true. Most of you claiming I'm in love. It's see finish that used to always be the problem. Like that, my wonderful friend on the internet, he said, hey, Cynthia, before I married you, I was papa. But when I told you I like you, you now reduce it to you didn't even call me my re-apostolic, I think she reduced it to apostle, something. Then when the love started, she now reduced the anointing to pastor, something. Now she calls him his name, Solomon, for instance. He said, Cynthia, now that we have broken up, go back to the way you used to see me. I am no longer pastor. I am no longer an apostle. I am your papa. It's so funny. But it happens. If you like, let anointing be drilling from head to toe. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Your wife will still have the impetus to say, I don't think I agree with what you are saying. You know, as I'm looking at my wife now, I remember when. The first time she saw me, like she was close to me, the first time she was ever close to me in her life in this church, she couldn't stand so well for a long time. Hello, yes sir. She was almost wanting to cry. Yes sir. Like something was falling on her leg. How are you? Yes sir. Her and her friends. I said, God bless you. I don't know if she won't tight that hand that day. I went and prayed the Holy Ghost. But I know. She knows what I'm talking about. The first time. Because I was not personally working on with her. I had to dedicate her under the leadership of another person. So one time, they said she had a question. She wanted to talk to me about the question. And I said they should give her my number to call. And she called. You know, I figured out she was actually trying to like toast me, you know, because I don't know what kind of question was that. But she called and she asked the question she wanted to ask. I answered, see the resultant event, Shekinah. Is it why we are telling people not to be answering people's questions earlier? You don't understand. See what they have done to your pastor. If you answer a question, you see what question will produce. Be answering question. Thank you. We always used to understand ourselves in this church. This man is answering questions very well. I know you, this man. When you start clapping like this, I'm giving you point. He's a liar. Ochaya is a liar. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. I remember the first time, yo. She asked a question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This sir, they want to kill me with sir. If it's not science, Papa. I told her to put my clothes in the washing machine yesterday. She forgot. She was reading for an exam. So when I came back this morning, I saw the clothes. So I said, you did not put my clothes in the washing machine. She said, hey, Jesus, I forgot. She was now running to come. I said, look at you. It's not you again. Now you are forgetting my words. I said, be warned. I was joking to her. I said, be warned. It is me, your papa. So the lady said, and keep on enjoying the relationship until what? See finish. A lot of times it's see finish, isn't it? It's see finish. No matter how you love somebody today, one day, if you don't carefully follow the right principle, see finish will enter. You must guard your heart with all what? Diligence. Guard your heart. Where was I before I entered this see finish talk, for goodness sake? Where were we going to? Huh? Yes, your only reasonable service. If I want to know where I am, I shift to this place. Because I know these people will confuse me more and more and more. Your most reasonable service. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you can't be claiming you understand the word. You know, they're not even claiming you understand the word. Just choose it, a lifestyle you don't want to do, and think Jesus spoke to you about it. That's why there's confusion. And I was speaking about a lady who was dressing like an old woman those days. And when my spiritual father spoke to her, she started dressing like a young lady. And finally she married. Who told her to not be to be dressing? There's one particular blouse that the denomination used to wear. Who told them that that blouse is from heaven? Heaven can never be that poor in ideas. It never came from heaven. And now that their set man has changed, tell them that they should stop wearing the blouse. They're in love with the blouse. They still don't want to leave the blouse. The man of God came and said, this thing is me that created it, so let's stop it. They still say, we prefer our blouse, our covenant blouse. So now I'm not mocking the man of God. I'm mocking them that they told to leave that blouse. Is it blouse I'll call it, or gown blouse, sorry. And they wouldn't leave. Are you all listening to me tonight? It was, see, when you always do these things without the understanding of God's word, you must really come back to your vomit. You must always. There's something we are all not saying. It's because of how much we honor men of God in the Nigerian church that this thing has not escalated. There was a time that this TV was called Devil's Boss. People don't watch it. A particular denomination, some people, they don't watch it. They call it the Devil's Box. But nobody uses the Devil's Box right now than that church and the church in general. Everybody needs a Devil's Box to see heaven's reality or heaven's word. Hallelujah to Jesus. Is it the wrong doctrine is terrible because an entire generation followed that perception. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Until the man of God, the only time they were able to change was when the man of God found light. You see, when the Bible said, and God, you know, and gave a revelation to Jacob and he leaded over Israel. This is the physical manifestation or example of that. That one man can cause an entire generation to go into error. Are you all listening to me tonight? Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? Very important. There are several, you know, beliefs like that. I remember there's a denomination, they said they refuse blood transfusion. Only for them lately to say that they've accepted it. That those days, if you have an issue and they needed to transfuse blood on your system, they would tell you not to receive the blood. Now, a lot of people died because of that church belief. They died. How would you think those people would be thinking right now, seeing that the church just released that people should start collecting blood? If it's you, in the realm of the spirit, you may hold on and say, if any of these people come here, I will still kill them to die and go to another second death. So you see, until the church leadership sat down and said, I think we are making error. But you see, the error has caused a lot of people's life. Are you guys hearing me tonight? In 2 Peter 1:16, the Bible calls the word of God the more sure word of prophecy. Let's see it together. The more sure word of prophecy. More sure word of prophecy. 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17. For he received from God the Father and honor, the Father, honor and glory when such voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well. Please. Next part of scripture. Verse 18. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Where is that part of scripture? Give me verse. Just keep on. Hallelujah. So let's read verse 19. One, two, read. Which you do well to heed as light that shines in dark until verse 20. Are we in the right place? Old KJV? Alright, let's read the old KJV from verse 16, right? Verse 19, the old KJV. I don't like the way you people look dull. You look so dull. I'll push you to a mox now. What's wrong with you guys? Can we read together? Won't you read? So what is the more short of prophecy? The word of God. More sure word of prophecy. Abraham said, nobody needs to go and tell your brothers. If they didn't hear Moses and the prophets, they will not hear, they will not value the encounter. Jesus said, foolish people, when he resurrected physically, he appeared to them. Instead of saying, look at me, have I not resurrected? He said, you are foolish. Why do you not believe all that the prophet have said? Am I not supposed to suffer and resurrect again? Why not believe it? Nothing is as powerful as the Bible. God's written word, the most powerful. Are we together? If you see it in the word, it's yours. What am I trying to say? Don't wait for an encounter. Encounter God by his word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Whatever he says in his word is yea and amen. Send Lazarus to our brother. He said, forget about it. It has been written. Let them believe. If they didn't believe what was written, that's a strong statement. Theologians should be very excited by the speakings of Abraham. I don't think they really considered that. That's a very strong point in scripture that will help for interpretation. If they would not believe the prophets and Moses, they would not believe an encounter. Are we together in this place? I had a vision. The Lord told me, blah, 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 blah. Stop that. If it goes against the written word, it is false. Are you listening to me? Very important. The Lord told me so, so, and so. If it goes against the written word, Sometimes people say things that sound so deep, but it's very, very useless. I tell you the truth. And you got to be careful. I saw a very young man, a very young preacher. I don't even know his name, but I've been seeing his videos once in a while. And he said something that baffled me about the present day politics. He said, well, I want to tell you people, he was using Nebuchadnezzar to explain that. And I was trying to look at the point, look for the point, but I couldn't find one. He said, for instance, Nebuchadnezzar had capacity, even though he failed as a king. And I said, what capacity? He said, take for instance, Nebuchadnezzar went close to the fire, but he did not enter the fire. He was not consumed by the fire. But other soldiers went close to the fire, and they were consumed by the fire. That means he has some level of capacity. So don't insult the president, because there's something he even has that probably you don't have. If you were up there, you would not do better. I wish God can give me the privilege to swear. Just for this service, I would have said if you carry praise and put on that seat, you do 20 times better. I wish God would give me the privilege. I would have swear and tell you people that. You know, praise in our church, last born, or one of the last borns, if you carry her and put there, she do 20 times better. Now, you see, it sounds so user-friendly, like it's revelation. That's not revelation. You know, and it's the hardest thing to do in this life, by scripture, by logic, by anything, is to defend the present administration. If you try to use the Bible, the revelation will not enter. If you try to use logic, the logic will not make sense. Can't you see Reno? There is nothing you can use to justify the present day government. Is the most useless we can ever have. Quote me anywhere. You know that I said, I don't say what I've ever had. The Lord give you understanding what I said. We can ever have. But you know, the Lord just reminded me that I said that with Buhari. That no administration will be as bad as Buhari. I just remember now. Well, I think if anybody comes from APC, they'll be as useless as possible. It may be worse than this. Because they are bears of the same feather. You know, he even said it right now that he's a dead Buhari. So he took over from himself. So I told the young, I kept it in my heart. Well, it's not somebody I should reply. Talk about in ministry. I think he's just coming. So, I couldn't even reply in the comment section. I just let it slide. But I know the truth is that he's trying to support someone unconsciously that he comes from the same region with. And I think that's the problem we're having today. But this is my point. That seems like revelation. It is not revelation. That's not a way to explain things in theology. Isn't Nebuchadnezzar went close to the fire, but he was not consumed by the fire. He had capacity. How does that justify capacity? The Bible did not even say he went close to the fire. It said one of his servants, his soldiers, went close and he was consumed. What did Nebuchadnezzar have that he would not be consumed by the fire if he went close? Does he have Odeshi? Somebody that was far said he should go and check whether the people are still alive. He said, go and check whether they are alive. They said, sir, we saw the fourth. You know, to even see the fourth man, he did not come close to see the fourth man. He was far. He said, they should go and check. And you see, the way you look and talk and they are playing keyboard, it will be looking like it is revelatory. It is not. It is not. I think we must come to that point in ministry that no matter how much of a friend you are, if you are doing what is wrong, as long as we are teaching, if scripture hits you down, may you be down. The truth is like a vehicle, you're just going forward. If you stand in the front, boom. Like a moving train. Like recently that we saw something, I was showing my wife, somebody said, fornication cannot take away the anointing. And well, I don't know how to justify that, but listen to what he said as a justification. He said, because Solomon had many wives and girlfriends, and he still was anointed. Can you imagine such foolishness? You see why you need to know the word of God for yourself? We're doing a meeting. We enter into a discussion with the pastors on Sunday. I think we left here over 6 o'clock. We're just talking about several things, and one of the pastors now asked the question, "Sir, how do we really cope when we hear somebody who is very influential doing wrong things? How do we cope? What is supposed to happen?" You know, he was overwhelmed because he had gotten some proofs, you know, discussed with a friend probably, and they had proofs of someone who probably he had known before and is very influential doing some wrong stuff with proven evidence, and some of the folks left in the church and etc. And I think the person even came out to apologize or something, because it was several and he was caught. And firstly, when he wanted to say it, he was saying, "Sir, I don't know if I can say it." As I said, and when he said it, I said, "I knew that over a long time ago." He was so amazed. "I'd known that a long time ago. A very long time ago. But you see, we could even talk about it, because that's why sometimes when we're teaching, we can imagine that I'm teaching you now. Take for instance, and I want to give an administrative instruction. So I said, "You stop listening to everyone. Listen only to your pastor." Or I see you listening to somebody that I think had done something, you know, a lot of controversies around him. And I'll say, "Okay, this person is doing this kind of thing, so don't listen to him." How do I look? Don't I sound stupid? Why will I come and tell you not to listen to somebody because of your particular sin? Even though it is true, you will begin to suspect me as your pastor. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He's just framing stories, blah, 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 because he wants everybody to listen to him. And I truly don't know everything about everybody. But you see, you join a ministry because of a conviction. He said, "I'll give you what? Pastors, after my own heart, to teach you the truth." You can't be here and somebody else is teaching you about your life than me, who is your pastor. You want to take some instructions, make some decision for particular things, you go and meet a friend. The Bible says you have an itchy ear looking for what you want to hear. That is why you are behaving like that. Because if you want the truth, you meet your pastor. It's the truth. See, if we meet pastor no go, you no go agree. That means you met the other person because you want the person to what? Agree. We're discussing a case. And I think one or two times I've experienced that somebody wants to enter a relationship with a lady, do not ask, "Have you told prophet?" Say, "No, I don't think I'm ready for prophet to hear." Then you feel safe. You know what they want to do? They want to do ghost bars. Because if prophet knows, they will not have a babe. Who do you want to enter a relationship with? Solomon. What the heck? Solomon? Call Solomon for me. Solomon! Sir, you want to enter a relationship with who? Nobody, sir. Call the lady. Don't go talk. Solomon is not ready. And we know it. So, but pastor, he looks ready. So the look is the only thing you think somebody needs to have to look ready for a relationship. He looks ready. He prays in tongues. You don't know, sometimes the most anointed people that look anointed, are very stupid. They act very stupid. You don't know? The King Solomon anointed. Was he not anointed? Samuel, sorry, anointed. Was he not anointed? What was his name? Saul. Did David run away from him? Yes. Why? He was acting stupid and wicked to a point they cut your clothes and say, "I nearly killed you while I left you." He stood up and said, "Look for that guy." Is that not stupidity? Somebody cut your clothes and say, "See, I was just to choke you, but I reconsider and say, you are king." And he ran away. He now blew with boom, 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 "See your clothes." He wanted the guy to repent. And instead of him to repent, he said, go for that bastard. Go for him. And some of you are moved by tongues. He prayed in tongues. Rege bo koku. Capital letter tongue. Don't you know that the Bible said they can be just clanging cymbals? So this is what, how do prophets know? Firstly, you called me a prophet. Secondly, I'm a pastor. God gives me the advantage. God does not want your life to be useless. Are you listening to me? God will not allow you be in this church and lead me to allow you mess up your life. Sometimes these young men don't have bad intentions. They think they don't have bad intentions. They actually have good intentions. Really love you. I really love you. They mean it, but they are not capacitated. Love is not by mouth. Do you have the capacity? Not financial capacity yet, though. Spiritual capacity to beat a lady for 2 years, not have anything to do with her sexually until you marry her? Is that possible? And so even if they come and we don't have the meter, should I call it Christometer, to check if these people are like Christ before they get into a relationship, the Holy Ghost speaks to us. As the shepherd, are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Is it true? Does it make sense or not? It makes a lot of sense. Don't allow that guy get into a relationship. Some just unrest in my spirit. I don't feel donut is ready. I don't feel that guy is ready. Okay, I feel this one is ready. I just feel this peace in my spirit. I had that situation several times in my office. Somebody comes, you want to enter a relationship. I say, go back. Don't enter. Don't enter. Why am I saying don't enter? If you are sincere with yourself, you truly should not enter. Go check your life. You understand why you are not supposed to enter. Hallelujah to Jesus. You're struggling with a habit. You want to enter a relationship. Like I met a young man that wanted to marry because he had a wrong habit he wanted to kill. He felt like marriage was a solution to quench it. I said, marriage is not a solution. Deal with what is wrong with you before you get married. Else you'll be married and still be doing that wrong lifestyle. And I tell you, if you really want to be beautiful and wonderful human beings, all you need to do is to be humble. Grace comes to the humble. Proud people never become wonderful human beings. They always have one trouble they are fighting, one character they are fighting, one problem they are trying to fight and solve. They never become wonderful human beings. There's a little fox we are trying to remove that is making you feel purpose will not settle down. It will destroy you tomorrow. It's the truth. Who told you that is everybody, you know, talking to someone, and I almost excommunicated the person from church lately, and my wife was, you know, pleading to an essay. It's not like I'm a bad person, but I was expecting more from the individual. I say you are mature, you're too old to be behaving like this. And I told the hatred, I said, just excommunicate that person. Remove the person from your group. Just leave them in the church group. And with time, if they're not functioning properly, remove the person from the church group. And they removed. And the person messaged me. I said, I'm pleading. Sir, if you stop advising me and give up on me, how will my life be? And in my heart, I said something. So my job is just to be advising you and you'll be behaving like a foolish person. So you know you need advice. And when you receive the advice, you lick it like ice cream. It is now that we are taking drastic action that you think you can apologize. The person wanted to change department. I say, you will not change. Some of you act very wrongly in the department. And I say, sir, my heart is not in the department. Just be humble. You have bad character. You are not ready to stop being bad. And I refuse that person from changing the department. I say, you be in that department and deal with that human being that you are running away from. Hallelujah to Jesus. Some people are like that. Some honestly want to change. Some want to change because they don't want their hatred to deal with them. To deal with that wrong character in their life. The worst of members are those that have problems with their hatreds. Do you know sometimes it is true your hatreds would have done one or two wrong things that you probably feel is wrong and probably scripturally it is wrong? I'm not talking about fornication and etc. I mean, maybe little character flaws. Do you know that that's not a justification to now start talking against your HOD? Do you know that? Because you are destroying yourself. You are setting up yourself for destruction. Now the person that God wants to use to talk to you, you are against the person. The person that God wants to use to arrange your life, you are against the person. What is your strong reason? The other day he got so angry, he shouted for me. He said, "Are you mad? How can a man of God say, 'Are you mad?'" What of Paul? Paul did not ask if they are mad. He said, "You foolish Galatians." Paul released it. If you are in Paul's church now, you say, "Hey, man of God, call somebody foolish. If I come this church again, make I die." But was God still flowing through Paul? Yes. He said, "The gospel I'm preaching to you, I did not receive adulterated version. I received it direct from God." Yet he got offended. In fact, at the point, he said, "Now I know I'm talking like a mumu." It's in the scripture. He said, "Now I know I sound like a fool, but I'll sound like a fool now and tell you people my mind." Paul lost it. Who caused it? Members. To a point, Paul started telling them, "You think I don't have a job?" You see this thing, pastor? Paul started it. "You think if I was not a pastor, I would not be a wealthy man?" He said it to them. Go and check the book of Corinthians. I think 1 Corinthians 6, 9, there about 4, there about 2 Corinthians, some sort of 6. 2 Corinthians 6, yes. He said, "You think if I wanted to follow career, I would not be better than all of you?" At a point, he said, "I'm a Roman of Roma," meaning all of your green card you have is even learning work. "If I pursue this thing, none of you will see my back." He said, "But I chose this. I consider this as number one because God has called me to do it." You know, at the point, he said, "I count everything I know as what? Junk." If Paul was a scientist in his days, he was the best. One of the best, if not the best. Paul was the best in school. Yes. The best students are trained by the grandmasters. Paul was trained by the person that was the more like the when you talk about the law, the Torah. Was it Gamaliel that was his name or something? He trained Paul directly. When Paul finished first degree, they now gave him that lecturer for because he was a student of particular concern in the right direction. They wanted this guy to become something so that, you know, he will become so prominent and useful to the community. To their nation. And all of a sudden, the man said, "I consider everything I've learned as junks." Meaning he called everything he learned, said they are useless for the excellency of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Meaning all of those things would have helped to make Paul wise in its specific direction. But Paul said all of them didn't matter. "I now know Christ, and Christ is the light of life." Are you listening to me tonight? He got offended several times. Jesus in his humanity got offended with people. He entered church and whipped people up. Whip people. I don't believe it's God's will that I carry cane and start flogging people. But God flogged people. He got offended. Entered church and human beings are selling, they are selling things in church. And he got offended. Many, if it was in our days today, he would have flogged people still. Some of you don't believe that sometimes we act like Jesus. When we get angry, you don't believe we're acting like, but we've never flogged anybody. Can we say we are acting better than Jesus? Have I ever carried Kenya to flog anybody? Maybe I should start considering that so that I'll be equal to Jesus. If my Savior flogged, who am I? Are you listening to me? Human beings sometimes can be terrible in the way they think. Terrible. You see somebody you started raising as a child in the things of God. Sometimes we get embarrassed as pastors. We see the worst things. People that nothing in our life would have joined us with them if we're not pastors. You now sit down with old people and you are discussing one small child in church. What is wrong with the child? "Sir, he said the other day, he said that. He said this." You know, one of the worst things I've ever heard as a pastor was when one of the members heard of something that was happening between two people in church. I think he had a condition that was, you know, some people messed up or something. And he now made a statement to another person. He said, I don't think that atmosphere will be conducive for me. So I now said, is the person still in the church? I said, yes, communicate the person immediately. You know, I said so. I remember the person's story like yesterday. When the person came to church, I remember how the person was coming from from sin. I remember one of the things, but the person just entered my house. He said, I want to confess something. I think it was a terrible thing. I don't need to say it here. And all I said was, your sins are forgiven. He wanted me to start saying you have to do penance. I said, your sins are forgiven. And that's the truth. What will I do? You've done the sin. Should I carry you back to go and do the sin? Your sins are forgiven. I said to him, you know, the Bible says, whose sin you retain is retained. Whose sin you what? So I told him, brother, your sins are forgiven. And he's truly forgiven. I said, now go and sin no more. Love the Lord. Start reading. I started teaching him the word. He became part of us. Blah, 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 blah. And at a point when he saw people who had misbehaved, and that's not the first time. He had misbehaved several times. I remember one of those days he came to my house early in the morning and knelt down in front of my door. Sister, please don't push me. Sir, what I did yesterday, I know you want to push me today. I said, who told you I want to push you? I said, you and the devil are confused. You know, some people think we put them up there so they don't broke our heart. You were not up there. You were just here. We are not discouraged at all. You know, sometimes when you cry so much for the mistake you make, it's because you have pride. Somebody made a mistake and he wants to commit suicide. You have pride. Who are you? Why do you want to take water pia pia? Say, I made such a mistake. I mean, give me a sniper. I wish I was there. I will borrow you that sniper. I'm just joking, you know, before you say. But it's foolishness. Like I heard a joke about Pella, the young man who does TikTok. Somebody was, comedians are funny people. I came across a joke, the comedian said he's very disappointed in Pella. That if Pella wanted to commit suicide, that's not how to commit suicide. Now he looked at a bridge, a time where iron was, and roared and went and hit the place. That there was he left where there was no iron. Why did he not enter? That Pella did not want to die. You know, I couldn't stop laughing when I heard that. And you know, before that guy had that accident, I think I saw a video that Pastor Paul Enenche mentioned his name in the evening prayer. I don't know if some of you saw that video. So I am seeing somebody who is supposed to die. Pele, Pele, Pela, Pela. We rebuke the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. See, you want to behave like Mumu, God is just protecting you. What wisdom made that young man to say, I want to commit suicide? What wisdom? Very inferior and useless wisdom. You know what happened to him? He said his girlfriend broke up with him. His girlfriend, Jarvis, told him she was not going to do again. And he said he was going to die. Such a young man needs to go and sit down and learn life. Are you people can not try and say? You know, I don't know. Maybe when I saw one or two of his videos, I started seeing more of Facebook have this AI feature. They began to show. At one point, I saw him say he was going to stream, and now he has spent like $19 million for his girlfriend. He has kept everything in the house. He's going to stream all over the world. And I was laughing. And you know, many people watch these people, these two people, from the comment section, you can tell. Many young people, that's where they stay. They just watch other people live their life. And that's the person they are watching, Pella. He may have a lot of money, but the truth is that I'm not trying to condemn him. He may have a lot of money, but he's not wise. He's still a child. He needs to grow. And that's why, you see, some kind of jokes, right, are very unnecessary. We can joke, but jokes have limits. They should not touch the divine. You can't joke and start joking with tongues. You know, there was a young man that is still out there, and Maybe if he come across this video, he may think I'm hating. But it's not hate. You can't be joking with tongues. See, maybe it's because of how I understand tongues. And I think it's the way scripture explains tongues. We don't know how to pray. Wrong. How will the guy value the things of God if he's playing with tongues like that? And when they ask the gospel, he says he's bringing him to Christianity small, small. I mean, they are taking you out of Christianity small, small. When they are playing with the things that are very important to your faith in your front and you can't talk, it is you that have a problem. Are you listening to me? Be comfortable doing what is right. Even though nobody is clapping for you. Just be comfortable doing it. Because at the end of life's journey, only one person has the final say. It is God Almighty that has sent you. Well done, true and... I always tell myself, why do people have sense in old age and on dying bed? Is every time you see people dying or getting old, you see their tone change. Their perspective of everything. Now you that is at 26, now you don't want to believe that thing. When you that time your face has folded everywhere. Now that people like, do not understand what we are seeing in our generation, did not happen in their generation. God, the things, they are better. You think so? Go and check some of your mother's pictures. Yes! I see calls. See, all of you are looking at me. Church people can be very hypocritical. You can see a lady stand there and everything, and they'll say, Pastor Phil, what can you... Can you see the curves? No, sir. I can't notice that. I can't see that, sir. It is impossible. As if God, when he was creating it, he was closing his eye. Maybe when God wanted to create a woman, he said, Angel Michael, create that rubbish. I don't want to see that rubbish. Create it. What God created... Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. There is no man under heaven that does not like a woman. If you find yourself liking a man, you have a demonic problem as a man. There is no woman under heaven that does not like a man. If you find yourself liking a woman, you have a demonic problem. God cannot create you and create woman for you and you will like man. Or claim you can't like a woman. You are a hypocrite. I think this is where Christians need to... If we start talking like this, we will relieve ourselves from all hypocritical stuff and be free. Many Christians are not free. They just talk hypocritical things. That's why they are struggling with the things they hate. When they talk about sexual sins, number one in the world are Christians. Sexual sins. Yet, anytime they talk about sex, everybody is doing it like this in church. Pastor, please, talk about revival. But research shows that Christians are suffering from sexual sins more than any set of people before on the earth today. Years ago on campus, there was a young man who was from this very strong holiness movement church. He was my friend. Very nice guy. And one day he came to church and he was not excited with the way some ladies were dressed. So he told me to caution them, to shout for them. I said, I can't shout for anybody. Let the word of God change people. So when we walk down the street, he'll be pointing ladies with trousers. He will just be pointing to me. Sit down, sit down. Sit down, Pastor. Sit down. What's rubbish? Why are people not thinking? This kind of thing I should be making some brothers sin. You will not say it's him. That's my problem with most of those brothers. They will not say they are making us sin. They'll say they are making some weak brothers. That's my pain. Don't you know that why some people are focused here in the word of God and such a lady enter, all the brothers will lose concentration? Should be distracting people in the presence of the Lord. Do you know who the Lord is that somebody will be distracted in his presence? The point is, where would they change if he's not in the presence of the Lord? If you have a problem with yourself, go and solve it. It is in God's presence that people get changed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Solve it. God will not, because of you, say people should not come to the church. God may not be excited with the way they are looking yet, but he will not stop them from coming to his presence. He said, come the way you are. Come the way you are. Meaning, anyhow you are, come to God. It's in God that you get change. Transformation is in God. The grace of the Lord has appeared to all, teaching them how to say what? All men. He did not say the ones that dress specially. All men. And men there simply mean men and what? Women. I think Christians have to be very real, because the case is becoming tougher and tougher with time. Before you know, this man of God is caught doing this. Before you know, some brother is caught doing this. It's getting bad every day. And when you talk about new Christian realities, they hate it. All these people that are making people to want to sin. And finally, they now catch you in sin. It's so bad. Many people don't believe the goodness of God can lead to repentance. Many. But that's the gospel. It is through his goodness that he made a way for us. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, counting not their sins against them, and he has given to us the same word. What God has put, the knowledge God has given us that will determine somebody to live and reign above sin, is the knowledge of his grace. If you teach another thing, whether rapture, whether hellfire, whether purgatory, it will not change anybody. Heaven is not the gospel. The gospel is the revelation of the Christ. That's what has the potency to change people. Talk about heaven today to tomorrow. Talk about hell today to tomorrow. Nobody will change. You may scare them for a while, but that's not the gospel. They are standing on seeking sand. What has the potency to change people is the knowledge of Christ. Are you listening to me? And that's why, as a preacher, somebody who really knows Christ, you don't know how to give up on people. I tell you the truth. The only people who give up on, and it's not like we're giving up on them, is the proud people. Because we can't help them. It's frustrating to have proud people on with you, and they're just there because grace cannot flow towards their direction. But if you are humble, it doesn't mean you may not make mistakes as a humble person. As long as you can recognize your mistake and come back to the Lord, he can help you. Humble people does not simply mean perfect people. But the closest to being perfect are humble people. Because grace flows through the direction of the humble. He giveth grace to the humble, but to the proud, he casts them away. You got to be humble. What will make us perfect and strong soldiers of Jesus in these last days? It's not all the shows alone. See, there's a place for prayer. Are you listening to me? But Jesus did not say by their prayer life you will know them. Even though prayer life can determine for fruit also. He said by their fruit you shall know them. By their word, fruit. He said, he that can love has passed from death to life. A man that can walk in the love, that is walking in the love of God, is a perfect man. You have sound character, which is the most important. Sound character. The manner of spirit that Jesus entails. Like he spoke to against the disciples when they say, pour down fire. You say, you don't know the manner of spirit you've got. Yet you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You know how to talk to people nicely. Your words minister grace to the hearers. You cannot be a Christian. You are not a Christian. If anytime you talk, people get feel bad about themselves. You are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. Anytime you are done talking, people will go back. Some of them will feel like crying. You are not a Christian. When you enter anywhere as a Christian, people should be sparked with joy. They should be excited that you have come. Because you always minister hope to them. You always minister life to them. Are you listening to me tonight? That's what makes you a Christian. So learn to be humble. Learn it. Be okay with not being popular. Recognize. Are you listening to me? Liked. If you are okay with these things I just said, you will make a perfect Christian. But everybody want to prove something to somebody, want to prove something to somebody, want to prove that they are successful, want to prove something. Just serve God. Serve the Lord with the whole of your heart. Promotion does not come from the west, nor the east, nor the south. Are you listening to me? It comes from above. It comes from above. Even if nobody is doing what is right, make up your mind, I'm going to do what is right. Nobody needs to do what is right for me to do what is right. I will do what is right. Because promotion comes from God alone. He is my personal Lord. They are not. The experience I'm seeing now is not what is supposed to determine how I live my life. God is my Lord. Are you listening to me? Learn to believe the scripture for what the scripture says. Whatever the scripture says, that's what I believe. I don't care about the circumstance. That's what I believe. I saw a writing that blessed me. The man of God said at the end, he said, God said, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. He said, sometimes you can feel offended. He said, but sin not. Don't allow the offense have the best part of you. Keep yourself cool. Be okay. I asked someone yesterday, I said, because of one problem somebody who has helped you all your life as a friend did, as a leader did, you want to cut communication with that person because of one problem? One problem? The person could not answer me. I said, one problem is the reason. In fact, we got to the point I asked, is this person not the person that gave you a job? She said, yes. I said, just one. Somebody that won't help you to get a job. Now, one problem you want to cut off. I said, oh, you don't sound wise. Thank God she understood what I was saying and repented. One problem. So you think now that you have seen fault in the life of your leader. You are the one God will use now. You are the David. It's like you don't know this God. Look at David. If David had your HOD, your leader as his leader, David would have not had any problem. Imagine your leader is trying to kill you. Some of you would have slapped your leader and taken him to police station. David's leader wanted to kill him. Look at David's life. He didn't only kill Goliath too. He killed everything himself. Are you listening to me? He killed everything himself. He dealt with himself before he even killed Goliath. In fact, he had been living right. That is why God picked him from the trenches. He had been faithful to God. In fact, the father forgot he had a son called David. Samuel said, is there another? Do you have another one? He said, there's one. Somebody in the bush. Somebody that will barely be at home. Last born, they are sending everywhere. God was watching the character. He was making heaven smile every moment. Because anytime you leave there's a light, that shines from your inside to the outside in the realm of the spirit. You stand as a light. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. You see that? When you live in God's perfect will, what is happening? Your light is what? Shining. Heaven recognizes you. Nobody can hide light. No one puts a candle, light a candle and put under a bushel. Heaven recognizes you. Creation recognizes you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are recognized everywhere. And God said, there's one guy. I've been watching that guy. His name is David. Go pick him up for me. God picked David. David didn't see it coming. You think David saw it coming that he was the next king? He probably never had any encounter. David probably never had any dream. Joseph had a dream. Thank God for Joseph. David did not have a dream. We did not hear David say, I see my brothers bowing down. No dream. No dream. But every day, he was doing exactly what the father said he should do. He was obeying the Torah. He was a fine Christian. A beautiful Christian. And God, his light was shining. Heaven recognized him. And God said, the next king of Israel. Look at him there. I've selected him. I love him. He's a wonderful person. He's the one I want. How old was he? He was not even up to what? 20 years. 17, right? Around 17, God picked him up because he took responsibility upon himself. He was living the way he ought to live. You know, years ago, I asked a father of faith, I said, why is God using me at age 16? He said, because you took upon yourself responsibility. Many years ago. Because I remember one day I asked myself, why is God using me? I'm so young. Why am I the one? I mean, God will send me sometimes. I'll go and do things and I'm amazed at the result. I remember when I prayed for somebody not to die. I think I was 17, 18 thereabout in the barracks. That story I told you guys. She was sick. I didn't even know she was in the hospital. I kept on praying for this woman for more than 7 days. Until one day I was passing around RSM quarters. And I asked, where is this woman? They said she just came back from the hospital. She almost died. I said, almost died? They said, yes. Only me understood what was happening with me. I was shocked. Why are you acting like this? It's weird. They didn't know God had placed a burden to pray for that woman, even though I didn't know that she was sick. Are you listening to me? And God made David king. Touch this man. Tell him to stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. You feel the anointing. I sense the anointing upon you. Stand up and receive. Listen, people of God, most of you are young people here. Are you listening to me? Yes, hear these words. It is not all that glitters that is gold. Be faithful in what you are doing. Heaven sees you. Are you listening to me? What did I say? Heaven sees you. Don't be proud. Pride will not take you anywhere. You may seem like you are running with speed. You just go and hit one thing and you scatter. Speed in the right wrong direction is not an advantage. We have said this every time, several times. Don't just be moving. That's how pride is. Oh, I want to do it on my own, blah 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 blah. You will come back to square one. And a lot of times people who are proud, they don't want to come back to square one. They don't want to come and start again. That's when their life gets useless and frustrated and etc. Be humble. Years ago, I told a friend, I said, it takes more energy to be humble than to be proud. Everybody can be proud. Strong people can be humble. Very strong people. You saw it in the Bible. See how God used David. See the influence. Some of you don't know that God used to calculate everything. I've been saying it several times here. You are doing business. You take God's business to be number 10, number 20. Lie. Number last. Last number. God's business is no priority to you. And you want God to be the one at the forefront of your business? You are joking. We were not taught these things like this. While we were growing up, if we were not serving God properly, we used to feel like everything we were doing was useless. There's this song in Hausa that said, "Haya, haya, 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 embakada Yesu, komi asama banza." Meaning, without Jesus, everything else is useless. We'll be dancing it like a praise song those days. Those kind of things, they instill certain kind of values in us. Are you listening to me? We were taught that people who clean church were the strongest men in the realm of the spirit. My spiritual father taught me that. I said I cleaned our fellowship for 2.5 years or more, and nobody knew. As a man, hallelujah to Jesus. So love the Lord with the whole of your heart. Are you listening to me? Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Are you here tonight? Are you a woman that can be like Mama T? You can sacrifice and do the will of God. Can you do that? Ask yourself, can I do that? Can you reject UK for the will of God? Think deep, don't rush the answer. You know, honestly speaking, before I got married, you know what broke my last relationship and proved that the things was not from God? That thing was not from God. It was the will of God. I was such a nice boyfriend to that lady. Me? If I'm a boyfriend, oh my God. When my days of boyfriend are over, I can be very nice. Think of the best boyfriend you have ever had. Well, that's not... If it's before, then I'm not like him. That you presently have, the best you have ever seen in the world. I am as equal or more than. I could be so sacrificial. I remember in the first relationship, one day the lady started crying. True life, if she's watching, she cannot say I'm lying. She was crying. I said, "Why are you crying?" I thought I offended her. She said, "I don't know somebody can be such a good lover like this." And she was crying. You see, you're not believing this thing I'm saying. Don't you think I'm like that too? It was the will of God that proved everything. In fact, I was the one that went to buy the medicine from School of Medicine, Bangkok University. I went to buy it. They were trying to do it. I did it here in Makurdi in GT Bank. The person that did it had, because of me, he paid so money to open the portal and did. He said, "You, why are you?" I said, "It's for some. I have to do this thing for this person." We're talking. The guy said, "I don't know why I'm just following. I don't know. How did you have? What kind of influence do you have?" Then he paid the money. He said, "It's only you I'm registering this thing for. I know nobody will come for it." And he did it. I said, "Thank you." I shook his hand. I went. I told her I've done it. She was so excited. I couldn't do it in just. I couldn't do it. And later that same evening, I said, "But you know this medicine, you will not be able to practice it for more than 5 to 10 years. You will come fully into the ministry with me." So I beg go. They had family meeting. They now say, "I'm not serious." That was the fruit. They came and gave me. They said, "My people say you are not serious." I said, After this kind of tongues, I just prayed. They said, "I'm not serious." Then I found out my interest was not. I said, It is now we decide." I said, "No, when we reach the bridge, we'll cross it." I said, "Hey, I've spent 4 years. I should spend another 4 years to reach the bridge." I said, "No, let me know now whether I will do or not do." Do you know that was how that relationship ended? Like a joke. I said, "After 5 years." I did not say when you. I said, "After like 5 or 10 years. When it's obvious enough, you join me in the ministry." I said, no, "I'm called to build hospitals." I said, no problem at all. It is not the will of God. I said, "The kind of wife me I saw, she'll be following me to different nations. We'll be doing ministry together." That's the kind of woman I saw. That's how the relationship ended. So simple and short. I think she should be somewhere outside the country doing her things. So simple and short. Hallelujah to Jesus. God's will. Simple and short. You want somebody wants to marry you, ask him. They prophesy on your head, you will do ministry, you will change nations. You, Akata, for instance. The man now comes, does not love the Lord. does not like ministry. He has already insulted by Adeboye, by nature. Pastor Chris is insulted. My problem with men of God in Nigeria, and he's your boyfriend. Somebody who is insulting men of God is your boyfriend. And he says he loves you. So all these men of God will be buying private jet with church members' money. And you are calling him my love. You want to marry somebody, he looks at your pastor. I don't like your pastor. He doesn't like your pastor. You like him. What did your pastor do? He said, the way your pastor is talking, I don't think he can pastor this relationship. The way Precious is laughing is like, the way you laugh, I know when people laugh like this in service, it means that pastor is saying the truth. Even sometimes we sit down. You see, the way the prophetic was, or not even the reason for the prophetic, pastor, you sit with people like this, God will just point out their sin. I tell you the truth. Like as I'm standing here now, I can feel somebody's sin. It's so simple. Should we try? See how people's mouths is spinning their neck. They don't want to answer yes, sir. I want somebody to talk. Let me face you. Should we try it? So only one person answered. I miss all of you. I tell you the truth. It's very simple. Those days, my spiritual father would just, somebody would pass and say, you think the person polluted? You say, no. Come here. You fornicated. See, somebody just need and start crying. Why? Why did you do that? When fellowship, he looked at a lady. 08073. When he called her phone number, she put her hand on her head. He said, that's the proof that what I'm about to say is from God. 1, 2, 3. Hey! I see 4. I'm expressing the way he expressed. You know the hello, I see 5. 5 boyfriend. Only you. The lady just broke down. I'm sorry, Lord. 5 boyfriend. Why did God allow him to be seeing those things? For our sake. I was talking to a lady on to go. We're just talking. The talk was making some sense. Just talking and talking and don't you understand what I'm trying to say? As we're talking, do you get me? You will not understand me more than anybody in this show this evening. My father just called me. What are you doing? She said, I'm just sitting on my bed. Doing what? Nothing, sir. What are you doing with your phone? Sir, I'm on to go. Talking with who? My friend, sir. Which friend are you talking to that is tall and fair? I said, sir. Sir, I'm sorry, sir. He said, sorry for yourself. You will not go far in ministry. You will not see your ministry. You will not even cross Kaduna. You will not cross River Kaduna and go anywhere. Remember, school of ministry. I say you are in a relationship. This blah blah blah. I say break up now. Now. Sometimes you know you see here what do. I called. I described the person. We spoke. I say break up now. Now. As we are prophets, so God speaks to us in diversity. Some of you know I've spoken to you through jokes in this church. You see how they responded. It happens. Esther is trying to affirm it again. It happens a lot. Because I've seen myself saying my mind through jokes a lot. Some of you don't know. I tell my mind, I talk my, let me just reveal myself today. Sometimes my joke is my mind. You see me just joke and just go my thing. I've told you what I want to tell you. Now you submit to catch this thing. Because my conversation and jokes and the rest are not with what? Enticing words from man's wisdom. I tell you the truth. Sometimes I know this person should know I'm talking to him. Why would I just sit down and God be telling me everybody's problem? I don't deserve it, but I'm the pastor. He will not allow you to be entering problem while under him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I'm representing him for the church. He's too faithful to allow you to get into troubles.
Every boyfriend will get, prophet will condemn.
Me ain't go carry, now he ain't go give me, I go marry him finally. Now him I go marry. Anyone I get, prophet will condemn. Make you no worry now. It's not a problem. Be grateful to God who are condemning. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you is not even condemned. We say it's not yet time. You want to die. It's not yet time. Young people don't know that to be single is a blessing. There's a way you say this, yes sir, that will change this topic. There's a way some of you will be happy about this topic that will change it. This thing is not for everybody. It's for some people. I'm just trying to make people understand, because some of you want to be single all your life. That's a problem. But to be single can be a blessing. When I was single, I was not as happy that now that I'm married. Now I'm more happy. But I want to show you that there were... Why are you guys laughing? You think I'm joking? I'm more happy now than I might. Look at you. Look at this lady. Hallelujah. Don't worry, when God give you a man, you understand what I'm trying to say. You see, I'm more happy now. But that time, I had more time to do a lot of things. I would sit in my house, but it was foolish times. Some of the time were foolish times. Sit in my house, and it's not really foul. Sometimes you would tell me that I'm still single. I'm living like a single man. Because there's a room I have, if you have come to my house. Before I come out from that room, sometimes it's 1 p.m., 3 p.m., 4 p.m. in the evening. I will make sure everything I want to do, what brings me out, thank God I have a baby. If not, I would have not even been coming outside. But now if I just hear my baby's voice, dada, dada, you just see me just open the door. But I can be there for a long time because I need a lot of time to do what I ought to do. While you are single now, take advantage of the time. Don't be toasting women and following men. You are chatting irrelevant chats. Use it to build yourself. Build yourself up. A time will come that you'll be behaving like Pastor Emma. You come and stay in church when service is 5 p.m. You'll be here by 2 p.m. that you are reading book. Where's Pastor Emma? A time will come. One day I came to this church around 12, I'll be 2 p.m., I'll be 1 p.m. I saw him, he said that sat down, he was reading. I said, what are you doing? He said, sir, I'm reading. I said, why did you not read at home? He said, sir, there's no space. Not because they are not a blessing to him, but he needed space. Take advantage of this time. A time will come, though, you have like 3 children. John will shout. Mercy will shout. Miracle will shout. Mommy, 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 mommy. Which message do you want to hear and finish? In fact, they'll say that you did take Bible study tomorrow. It's you that's taking Bible study tomorrow. They'll say, listen to someone. You now give us. When I was listening, my baby hit my phone. The screen has broken. Take advantage of now. See, we're not saying dating is bad. Listen carefully. But while you are dating, don't use that dating to destroy yourselves. And that's why if you really are not ready for marriage, don't date. If you want to marry like Nessie, enter a relationship. If you want to marry like Nessie, don't enter yet. Wait for Nessie. And me, I don't like long dating. Because see, finishes to spoil the whole thing. If you say you want to marry in 5 months time, enter now. Let's rush, am I? So that if see finish, enter, you're already married. Do you understand that calculation? But all this long relationship, before you know, they've broken up. I mean, I'm not doing again, I'm not doing again, I'm not doing again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your word. I give you all the praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Rivers, rivers, rivers from Bosphorus now, flood my soul away. Mold me, keep me, Help me by the word until.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.